There's a world of opportunity out there, beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you to dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries, learn about benefits, and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the NAISH by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
We're a bunch of good time pals yucking it up, busting chops, and make an actual play podcast of your favorite tabletop role-playing games. Games like Shadow Dark. I'm all right. If you're enjoying this show, here's what I want you to know.
Cool remix.
See, I was playing that right before we started. It was in my head. Here's what I want you to do if you're enjoying this, and even if you're not, just shut up and do it anyways. Go to youtube.com/theglasscannon. Boop, hit subscribe. Do it right now. It takes 2 seconds. Awesome. Now, I want you to do something else that's really easy. I want you to go to Instagram, follow us at The Glass Cannon. Boom. Oh, wait a second. Done. That's how fast it was. This one requires slightly more steps, but is equally easy and equally free. If you're listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, just fucking download and leave a review. And that's it. Now you're done. 5 stars. That was so easy and it was free. Thank you. You guys keep doing them. You think it's stupid. It actually really, really helps. Thank you for doing it.
You guys, 5 stars.
That's right.
For helping us out. Thank you.
5 stars to you guys. Last thing you need to do, this one requires a little bit more. Requires maybe $6.
Maybe.
Go to jointhenaish.com and join our subscription service. Do it! If you want thousands of hours of content, ad-free content, bonus material for this show.
Bone mat, as we like to call it.
Little bone. Bone cont.
Bone cont.
Bone cont. Bone cont.
Sounds like a horror movie. Did you see Bone cont on Netflix?
I mean, this full.
I can see it in like a twisted font.
Can I read a sample review? A 5-star review?
We should do this like every week, yeah.
A sample 5-star review, yes.
The subject, the title is I'm having a good time.
Ah.
Ah.
Great. That
sounds lovely.
And then I like to do that.
Yeah. The text of the review, I'm having a pretty good time.
Well, they qualified it.
Yeah.
When they had more characters at their disposal, they had to put that pretty good in there.
So 5 stars, though.
Right, so 5 stars. You know what else is 5 stars? Mr. Eric Bono! Oh! Son of a bitch! Hello. Look at this!
Hello, hello.
What are you doing in New York City? Are you moving here?
No, not yet. I am in town for meetings, and I guess this is a meeting.
Look at you.
Right. Hello.
Professional business meeting.
I'm now officially writing this off.
Amazing.
You come from the school of skid dressing up here with the blazer.
Yeah, I got to class it up a little bit.
Is that maroon?
It is a little
burgundy.
Bit.
Like,
it's sort of a burgundy. It's a little shiny, really too.
And I love the shirt.
Thank you.
Really nice.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that could pull off that shirt, let alone that shirt and blazer combo?
I think maybe not.
No one in this room.
Not in this room.
Not at this table.
Not me.
Yeah. Not at this table. Gents, take notes.
Thank you.
I bet France is good.
I had the same thought.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Maybe.
Yeah. Eric, would you take your shirt and coat off? Fritz, get over here. We need to test it out.
Oh, clothes source, Francis.
Indeed.
Eric, it's so great to have you here. We just had Kate Stamos join us for a quartet.
A quartet.
Quartet. Thank you.
Quartet of episodes.
Skokie, Illinois.
Yeah. Barbershop Quartet.
Yeah.
Could not think of quintet. Now we have you. So glad to have you here. What is your experience with the OSR?
Oh, I mean, I was born in it, baby. I've been simmering in its juices when it was the new school. So I feel very, very well suited. I'm playing a AD&D campaign now, old school, at home. And so, this is very much in line with my sensibilities.
This is why I like having Eric around, because we're of consummate age. I'm a little bit older, but like we came up in the same sort of gaming environment. We have the same like kind of history with it and everything. And this is definitely like fits into that.
I'm ready to die like it's 1983.
Hell yes. Hell yeah.
Why do you think the old school style is having its moment, like having this revival over the past few years in particular?
I think there's a simplicity to it. I think there's a DIY element to it. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, a lot of times that you can lean into relatively low prep and it's all about the emergent storytelling, you know? And I think that that's appealing to a lot of people, you know, has been all along. And now it's, I think some of the people who maybe came into the hobby through 5e are now sort of learning that you can unshackle yourself a little bit, so to speak, and have a lot of fun. So
it's always fun for a certain kind of person to delve into the roots of something that
I mean, that's what's so cool about you going back into AD&D now, because you're like way in.
I'm deep.
In typical nerd fashion, we can't do anything halfway.
No.
MC, because we're friends on Facebook, I see your constant posts like, got another module.
Yeah, I'm down to like, I need like 8 more modules. And they're all the ones with like little chits and poster maps that get lost the minute you open them. So the only way to buy them is like, it's mint and shrink wrap. And it's like $300. And I'm like,
I'm doing that too. You and I are both. We're going back collecting like all this stuff at the moment.
Yeah, and so. I've hit the wall. Like I got my last like 40 bucker last week, and now it's like Red Sonja Unchained, $185.
Great.
I love being a completionist. That is a great decision that I made for myself.
You own the Star Frontiers 2001 movie adaptation module. Do you own that?
No, I don't. Nor do I own the 2010, because I think they did both.
I never really played
Star Frontiers, so I got to get the fever for the flavor before I start dropping thousands of dollars on old modules I'll never play.
Where does it end? Like, when are you like, collections complete?
Well, you got to complete. You have to draw certain lines for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am not, once the Forgotten Realms shows up, I'm tapped out.
Then Eric's forgotten.
I got to make a decision, like, do I buy the Dragonlance adventures that I always passed up as a kid? Right now I'm thinking no, but let me finish the AD&D and D&D modules, and then I'll make the decision. Yeah. But when does it stop?
Death?
I got to play this shit, too. You can't just collect it. I want to play them all.
It's like, I feel like Charles Foster Kane. We're going to have like this giant room filled with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Our descendants are going to have to get rid of it all.
For real. I am setting up a real disaster for my heirs. Yeah.
There's a bumper sticker I saw once that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins."
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what. Move from Seattle to to Minnesota and pay for all of your books to go, and then you'll realize you kind of lose. After a while, it's like, oh, I've lost. I've lost a lot.
I've gotten into this phase where I feel so powerful throwing something out that I get like a high off of it, and I
you
start
really
throwing
do.
Everything out.
Whoa,
really?
you've Marie Kondo'd yourself.
Oh, I mean, it started with Marie Kondo, yeah. and now it's taken on
you've
a life of its
beyond
own.
Beyond Marie
I've
Kondo.
Gone like beyond
You're
Rangoon.
Enlightened.
What's yeah. the version of that where then a guy like me sneaks into your garbage, takes it, and then puts it in his collection? That's yeah. like the opposite. It's like yeah, the circle of life.
What's the yeah, high yeah. I get from like rummaging through trash on bulk waste day, and I'm like, look at this mirror. Oh and God. Then I take it home.
Bulk trash is coming up for me. Like by the time this episode airs, I have it like on my Christmas. Calendar. It's like second Christmas. I love yeah. bulk
we,
trash.
But day. We can agree on this because it's like second Christmas for me too. I'm out on the streets driving around. I'm going, that looks good. I stop. I'm like dusting it off. I'm like, I could buff out those scratches.
Samantha literally pulled a mirror out of the trash in Brooklyn like a few months ago. It's
I don't like anything that someone else has used. And my wife doesn't understand this. And I'm like, Jess, someone else has touched it. And at some point, they touch their genitals and then they touch that thing. I don't want it in my
I
house.
I forgot you've said this before. And I'm like, that's such an insane.
It's a genital theory.
We've heard this many, many times, but this might be the first time for you, Emma.
It's going to take me a while to acclimate.
It's 12 o'clock. How many times have each of you touched your genitals today?
I mean, I was touching them right now.
At least 18 times for
I
me.
Now feel like I should. That's weird, right? Yeah, I feel like you're daring me to do it.
Well, let's take a quick break so you can all get yeah. a quick grab in. Okay. We'll be right back. Cindy, you're first.
Okay. Here I go.
This episode of the GCP is sponsored by Pocket Hose, the world's number one expandable hose. Old-fashioned hoses, if that's what you're still using, you know. They're big, they're heavy, and they frequently, as you move around the yard, get kinked up and creased at the spigot, cutting off water flow. And not so with the Pocket Hose. Not only is the expandable hose much more comfortable to walk around with, but their awesome pocket pivot that they have over there, Pocket Hose, twists 360 degrees around the spigot, 180 degrees perpendicularly. For the audio audience, I'm actually showing this off on video. It keeps the water flowing at all times and does not slow down your work at all, which is huge, especially when you're a busy person, which we all are these days. The best part is when you're all done the work and you drain the water out of it, it shrinks all the way back down until the entire hose can fit in a box this big. I'm holding it with one hand. You know you could never do that with a 50 feet of old-fashioned hose. This whole pocket hose copperhead with pocket pivot thing is a game changer. My wife is out of her mind excited about this whole thing. When we got it in the mail, she was so excited to try it. And as soon as the weather got above like 48 degrees, she was like, I'm trying it. Went right outside, hooked it up and started watering and was just amazed how it all came together and worked so smoothly and then shrunk back up so tiny. So if you want to give it a shot for limited time, listeners of the GCP can get a free pocket pivot and their 10 pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text GCN to 64,000. That's GCN to 64,000 for your two free gifts with purchase. GCN to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Melissa, and this is Moms and Mysteries.
We're two Florida moms obsessed with true crime. From infamous cases like Ellen Greenberg to shocking Florida stories like the Dan Markell killing.
With 55 million downloads, we bring you new deep dives every Tuesday and Thursday.
Listen to Moms and Mysteries on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we're back. I want to thank our sponsors for this Shadow Dark campaign for the Glass Cannon podcast. Our sponsors are Joe.
Foundry, Virtual Tabletop,
V14 coming next week.
Oh, heck yeah.
Really?
I think I talked about it in like the fall, like it was coming.
Should I upgrade today?
You should get ready to upgrade. I am a bit of a Foundry geek and I'm excited about some of these upgrades. Awesome. Remember I told you about the multi-tiered dungeon things? Yeah. You don't switch scenes.
Yeah.
So different characters can go to different levels of the dungeon.
Oh,
you can
cool.
just swap. And then the other thing that I read about that I am like, thank God, is pop-outable character sheets. That you can move out of the window.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because they're stuck on the window right
monitors.
Now.
Pop-outable?
Yeah. You can pop out a character sheet and keep the full map on the other
screen.
That's
incredible.
Awesome. So, those kind of things, like, I don't know anything about software design and stuff, but those kind of things, you're just like, I didn't think about that. Like, it was always kind of trapped in that window. And
you
now
have to,
you're
like, shrink
to
the sheet or like
little quality of life improvements.
Exactly. That's just like, they're doing new animations and stuff. I haven't seen myself yet, but they're supposed to be great, like scene wipes and stuff.
Oh,
so when you transition between scenes, they give you these immersive animations.
Star wipes.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Oh, and Norse Foundry, of course.
Our other sponsor.
Check this out.
Is that a real? Where's my big fucking die?
There's some in the other room.
Not sure. Yeah, there's one in the other room. Somebody bring Troy a boulder.
What is it made of?
It is a...
I don't like the boulder.
What's it called?
Rubber silicone.
Silicon.
I don't like boulders, but I love silicon.
But it's like heavy.
I don't like boulders either. They're too heavy.
I know
heavy.
What I said.
I don't like boulders either.
Oh, thank you. And skid.
They're too heavy, but these bats, they're like super balls.
Oh, you can even hit your computer.
Oh, this
so you can roll it on our nice table and they don't hurt the table.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And then I also got this from Norse Foundry. I just want to shout out. They do these mystery pins, and there's a new dragon mystery pin.
I got one of those.
Skid is wearing his, modeling his. But Joe, we have an opener. You want to open ours?
I have not opened
Matthew,
mine.
You want to open ours?
Dude, these are fun. They remind me of Bubble Craps in Vegas.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Were you there in Vegas? I was like, I think it was Sydney and Kate. I was like, watch how fast I can lose $100. And it was like 2 seconds later, and they just.
He really did lose it so fast.
I actually legitimately love my dragon pin.
Oh, cool.
It's a white dragon with blue under the wings.
Oh, that's
Look
cool.
at that.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've got a green.
It's a white
green
dragon with blue under the wings.
I love it.
I got a green dragon with blue scale.
Oh, let me see.
Ooh.
A very different dragon.
I got like a tortoise dragon almost. It's got like a hard shell like legs.
That's dope.
This is really fun. Dope.
Mine's like an Asian dragon.
Let me see.
Yeah, it's green. And
that's cool.
You got a dragon too, Skid?
I got a dragon.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Everybody's got a bunch of fun dragon shit.
Yeah.
I got a dragon too. It's about to fucking kill all of you.
No.
That's true.
Hey.
I just got here.
Before we get into it, though, there is Norse Foundry is running a sale for us again, for our peoples, for the niche. GCP15 at checkout, I think it is. GCP15
awesome.
At checkout. 15% off until April 20th. Up until April 20th. I'm just trying to double check it here. McD, is it GCP?
Yeah.
Yes, GCP 15. You get 15% off up until April 20th. So, you know, get it in there. Get some stuff.
That's awesome. And after you do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to buy tickets to the next set of Call of Cthulhu live shows. Because right now, tonight, we are performing in Portland at the Aladdin Theater. But next month, in April, we're coming to Chicago and St. Louis. And then in May, we're going to be in Dallas and St. Paul. Eric Mona is going to be joining us in St. Paul.
St. Paul.
So make sure you come out to those shows. We're so excited. And Madison and New Orleans and Atlanta are on sale now for later in the year. I'm getting several phone calls from claims adjusters right now that I should probably be taking. But make sure you do that. And then the Glass Cannon Retreat in Vegas, the annual retreat now, is going to be happening in Vegas. Mona's going to be there for that too.
Yes.
Everybody here is going to be. Please come on out. Just go to glasscannonnetwork.com/retreat to get your tickets today.
Amazing. Can I tell a story real quick about pop craps at Vegas?
Yes.
And the story came from Mary Lou, because I wasn't there. It was late.
Yeah.
I think I was walking the streets with Kirkovich, like looking for pizza. Kirkovich and Brian Holland, I think, like way late looking for pizza.
You were able to get out of the hotel?
Trio of Vegas streetwalkers.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So during this time, I hear this story after the fact from Mary Lou. She's like, I swear it was Mary Lou. She's like, Troy wanted to show us how to play pop craps. And so it's just basically like you remember Trouble?
And it's like
with the pop-o-matic.
And you pop it and these, like,
boggle,
these foam
like
dice like pop. And it's like a machine craps, right? The 2D6 pop, pop, pop. And Mary Lou's like, Troy was just like, so here's how you play this. You da-da-da-da, and then you pop. And I just lost everything. Okay. So then, hold on. We'll try this one. It said, and then pop. And I just lost everything. All right. So it's not always like this, but sometimes I lost everything again.
Her delivery on it was cracking it was me up.
So it was also so funny because Troy had been, and you guys, you do this too.
Oh, you were there.
Yeah.
And so you just told, you just heard a story from Joe that you were present for that he was not.
I was
didn't
not,
know you were present.
I was not there. I was at the real craps table with Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Which we'll talk about. But Troy had been hyping up craps and especially the automated bubble craps. And he was like, best odds. Best odds. And the whole time he was like, best odds, best odds. And Mary Lou went with him and her telling the story was 10 times funnier knowing that Troy had said like, you'll win, 100% you'll win. And every time he was like, man, I lost everything again. He did not win once. He played the whole time, lost all his money.
Even if he got things going for maybe, okay, great. Now I can add that money. Boom. Oh, and now I can spread that to there. And oh, I can double down on that. And boom. And now he's got a whole bunch of money out there. And he's like, boom. And I just lost it all.
Do you want to tell the craps table story?
No, please, by all means.
It was my first time in Las Vegas, and it was my first time at a casino. I've never been to a casino. I was so excited for our retreat last year because I was like, oh my God, I get to go to the casino with everybody, hang out. It was a ton of fun.
We had so many road trips during the tour where we were like almost stopped at casinos.
Oh, yeah, we
Sydney
talked
had
about
never
it.
Been to a casino.
Yeah.
Not just Vegas. We were like, we got to pull off on this reservation casino and like show Sydney a casino. And we never
we
did
never
it.
Did.
And it lasted all the way until Vegas.
And it was so much fun in Vegas, and I'm so excited for the retreat this year because it's just going to be even more fun than it was last year. But Troy and Joe were like, you have to do craps. And they were teaching me craps like on the plane, at the airport, like going through. They're like, it's easy because I was very intimidated. So we go to the craps table. Not a lot of people at the table, which is not a good sign, apparently. Joe was like, okay, kind of quiet table. That's okay. That's okay.
We'll spice it up.
We'll spice it up.
We'll bring the, we'll we bring go the heat. Up.
Cold table.
Cold table, as they would say. Joe's like, put 100 down. Because craps is like, you do a lot of little things. Like, you do a lot of little things. I'm just trusting Joe. He's like, put 100 down. I'm like,
first mistake.
Okay. I put 100. I only brought like $200. Yeah. I'm not a gambling.
For the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not a gambling
in
man.
Vegas.
I put 100 down. They give me my chips.
Yeah.
And Joe's like,
in $5 increments.
In $5 increments. And Joe's like, put one down here. You know, you start on this. You start on this. I'm like, okay. I've never thrown dice at a craps table before. And all I knew was you have to hit the back wall. I thought you had to hit the back wall of the table before anything else, before they hit the table.
So you're whipping them.
Whip the dice. They fly out of the table.
Of course they do.
They hit a woman across the room. The guy running the table went, I'm an adult. I'm not a child. They didn't know what to think. I apologize. I was like, I am so sorry. I did not. And he was like, just roll them soft. Joe was like, what are you doing? I learned to roll them.
It was like she was a major league pitcher. Like she's just like, bam, overhand. It was amazing.
Wow. I learned
after
that. You're
insulting them and you're embarrassing me.
Everybody got a laugh. It was like, ha ha ha, this is fine. I learned to roll the dice. I have never lost $100 faster than at that table. I could have held a $100 bill out the window on the highway and let go of it and seen it fly away faster. It was just.
It took like, I think maybe about 8 minutes.
It was the
fact. And
you were like.
Multiple rollers. It was just ice cold.
Like not even passing the pass line, whatever it's called.
Yeah, like we couldn't even get any action going. Everything
but
in 10 minutes,
we both lost all our money. And Joe was like, well. Normally lasts a little longer and it's more fun. And I was like, I hate gambling. I hate this so much.
I was like, that's a great lesson. A great lesson. Like lose money right away and you'll never be tempted to go back.
I'm going to go.
It's like paying $100 to never have a gamble.
But now I have like a vendetta. Now I'm like, I have to win once.
There you go.
To win once. So when we go back this year.
I don't care how many old women I have to hit in the back with the dice.
I'll hit anybody. I'll whip dice at anybody to win.
Sydney, are you familiar with the oft-cited phrase? The house always wins.
I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard that in my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I just need to win once.
I'm just gonna say it again. The house always.
Am I the house?
I have a question. When the die panked off the woman's back and hit the ground, did you just go, oh, cock die?
You should have.
I went, that's a six.
Out of the box.
That's a six. No, I was absolutely
count it.
I was mortified.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
I'm back. I don't,
nailed it.
I had a very important phone call I had to take, and it was really bad. And now I've got to carry that energy to the episode with an insurance adjuster who are right there at like the lowest level of humanity.
They often suffer from an excess of personality.
Right.
It's just like, but it would be wrong to take that out on the players.
Right. It would be wrong.
That would be wrong.
Take that out on you.
Some might
the next
say,
people
Troy,
I have to deal with.
You have the power of the edit in your hands, and nobody needed to know.
It's true. It's true. But we like to leave it all in the open. Warts and all.
Warts and all.
What you get here. The Glass Cannon podcast. I spit all over myself.
That's the review you can leave.
It's a rough start.
On all the places where you can review us. 5 stars. Warts and all.
They keep it real. Nobody will ever say we don't keep it real here at the Glass Cannon podcast. Skid, have you had a colonoscopy recently?
A couple years ago, yeah.
Good, okay. We're keeping it real today.
Right.
Joe gets them once a month.
Preventative care.
Just need a little brain recreation.
They're like, you're back.
Colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Want to stay awake again this time?
They're way cheaper.
We like to do recaps of the previous episodes, but since this is your first, Matthew, please recap the entire campaign.
Oh, good.
Okay. So there was this war.
Yeah.
Can I fast forward?
Right. Flash of light.
War, yada, yada, yada.
Stairs, magic, burning at the stake,
right.
Children's lives in peril. Uh-huh. We get back to town. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we set out to rescue the people of Marin's Hole that were abducted by the orc in the orc raid. They're posted on these stakes, but like as an offering to some sort of sacrifice. I believe we started last week's episode by facing off against a crocodile.
Oh.
Which we handled.
Random encounter attack in the swamp.
Yeah.
Incredible random encounter.
Random swamp encounter.
And I think we handled it. I thought we acquitted ourselves pretty well.
Yeah.
It was a quiet kill.
Quiet kill against crocodile, which I don't think if I were to solo face off against crocodile, it would not be quiet.
No.
It was a crocodile witch?
I don't remember
then.
No. Grammar.
He's been doing this
funny.
All day. I mentioned meeting someone for coffee and Troy said, "You don't drink coffee." And I said, no, they had coffee. He said, what did you have? I said, I had tea. No, this doesn't matter. This is not part of the episode.
Meeting someone for tea.
I made him go 15 minutes before he actually got to the story. It's like, so what did you actually drink? You can't even say that you went out for cold beverages if you had a warm and they had a cold.
You really are. Your mood today, you're very antagonistic.
Anyway, we set out then to free the people who had been abducted. And at this point, I feel like I have to do something I very rarely do, which is pay Joe a compliment.
Oh.
Whoa.
I don't even know how to do that.
You know, I discard that.
Well, Joe manages our NPC quest and loot sheet.
Yes.
And this time, I hope he doesn't delete it, which is what happened during Giant Slayer.
Backhanded compliment already? Okay.
But now getting to the compliment. He recorded the names and descriptions of the people we saved.
Oh.
Vividly.
Oh, please.
Oh, there's been 5 prisoners saved and we lost one.
Eric needs to know this.
So we rescued a child who is currently unconscious. We don't know their name.
Okay.
But we do know the names of Ferroni Jones.
A.K.A. Mr. February.
Well, that's Joe Wright's. description is a firefighter. And then the notes are Marin's Hold Ladder 262, Mr. February 4006 on the fireman's calendar.
That's right. The year is 4006.
February.
Yes.
We also rescued Bette, who Joe describes as a hideous woman.
That's right. I remember her.
The notes are she beat.
She beat.
So just to be clear, the male NPC firefighter occupation, the female NPC hideous.
There's more. There's another one.
But she had a job that's not recorded here, actually. What was her job?
Wait, was she?
Bette?
No, she wasn't.
Wasn't she the fishmonger?
Yes, she was.
Is a fishmonger.
She's a fishmonger.
Okay,
wow.
Good. She's a professional.
Wow.
I monger fish.
I didn't remember that.
I have that in my notes.
And we met. The original person we rescued, we didn't know her name for quite some time. We discovered last week her name was Porcupistle Abercrombie.
Porcupistle.
Porcupistle.
She's just a regular woman.
Yes. Joe's description is an uninteresting cobbler. Right. Notes, a basic woman.
That's a regular woman.
To be fair, these aren't sexist notes. This is the information given.
This is the extent of what
the
we
truth.
Have.
Yeah.
Then finally we have Morris Day.
That's right. Yep.
It's D-A-Y-E, by the way.
Oh, that's not reflecting in the notes.
Gosh, yeah. Just for...
I'll make the edit.
Just to be
D-A-Y-E.
Safe.
D-A-Y-E.
Description, a middle... Description is a middle-aged man, and then notes. At middle age, he's essentially a senior citizen, very near death.
He couldn't walk. He couldn't walk or something.
Troy described him as middle age, and then had to be like, I can't continue.
So,
this is a swamp.
So in the process of saving these people, we did alert the orcs at the compound to our presence. A group of them was dispatched that we tangled with. We were all separated. We split the party. In the process of that, we killed a few of them and jumped them in their boat and set them off Viking funeral style on fire to try to distract from our presence. Didn't quite work. And our new companion, Morrigan, was defeated and captured by New York. Taken. And as we were in, the remaining orcs were pursuing us. And at that point, a dragon erupted from the swampy land.
Oh, no.
Obliterating those orcs, which was an upper. But then, you know, now we have to fight the dragon.
And one more thing. We rescued 4 out of the 5 people. The 5th saint went to rescue, and she was on the stake alive. She was like a noble woman in a nice dress, and she was shot in the head by one of the orcs who killed her instantly.
Oh, wow.
So we did not rescue the 5th person from...
6.
We have 5. The 6th person from Marin's Hold. So that was not our fault.
Right.
Well, unconscious.
And I haven't updated the map at all.
That's amazing. Perfect. It looks really good.
It'll be available.
Yeah, that's very old school. Yeah.
This year.
So subscribe to our Patreon. You can see the map.
You could get that on a shirt. New shirt coming out.
So I appreciate the update. I'm really excited to be here. And I've been doing a little bit of studying. You know, I've watched the first few episodes of this campaign. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm so excited because there's a new sort of grounded, gritty, almost dark take. And I'm just really ready to kind of take that pivot with you guys away from the silly and towards something truly and so I'm looking forward to hanging out with Porcupissal and Morris Day
and the hideous woman
fishmonger.
Porcupissal is a very common name in the Glomming.
Well, I can imagine.
I guess
so that tone has spread.
Yes Porcupissal is like
like Michael. Susan.
I couldn't think of a woman. Some of us must start with an S.
Susan.
Like, I looked at her and I'm like,
Sydney.
Like, I want to say Susan.
I can't say Sydney.
Yeah.
I want to say
God. That's the only woman in the room.
Sassafras?
Definitely an S word.
Saffron.
Skirmish.
Sassafras. I wanted to say too for memory, the dragon I also wrote down is wingless. It is a wingless dragon.
A disturbing looking dragon.
So, I'm feeling good because I've got a really good track record with dragons in opening encounters of Glass Cannon.
If you subscribe to Glass Cannon, you might have heard the Legacy of the Ancients episode that Eric was on where he brought in a new character.
Yeah.
And go face, listen.
Face no way. A fan favorite character.
He was the
favorite character.
Spoilers. He's dead.
Well, this is a war on 19 fronts here because you are mired in this swamp. I would say it's probably up to your knees. It's not like you could just run. You're just sloshing around. You've got raids of orcs that are leaving the encampment, wondering what's going on with these prisoners that they took from Marin's Hold, who were placed on stakes around the perimeter of their stilt village as if like sacrifices. You've saved 5 of them. The 6th was killed by the orcs as they were coming at you. And now you've got a wingless dragon that has emerged from the swamp and luckily killed one of these raids. But you have people with you that are not super strong. I mean, Morris Day, how's he going to make it out of this?
Somebody is carrying the child. Is it Pharaoh?
I thought Warwick was.
I was. Yeah. And there's, because the child is unconscious and...
And Morris Day is with you guys.
Ferroni Jones is the one, the Mr. February. He is armed with Ellison's sword, right? Ellison's sword. Like, I gave him the extra
Ferroni
sword.
Jones has a weapon.
So he has a weapon, and he seems to be of some competence. Okay, as a warrior.
He might be able to swing a sword.
Okay.
With no bonus. And there's also the Seeker, who, in the midst of the
Rowan,
yes. do you know about the Seeker? Look, you'll get to meet him. They call me the Seeker. He disappeared at some point, was like, I'll take care of this.
I'll take care of this.
And we haven't seen
him. I thought he was going to get Morgan, but then she, while unconscious, got gripped up by an orc and they started charging away.
Yeah.
They got wasted their first night back in town after several adventures, and Sydney's character woke up in a priest's room who seems to be a bit of a grifter, culty sort of guy, and now she's hired him to be a part of the group for
forcibly. He took money from my character. My character did not have money when he woke up. Money was missing, and apparently in the drunken stupor haze, I have hired the seeker on as a priest who has come with us on this adventure.
Oh, good.
Personal spiritual advisor.
Yeah, as he says.
And protector.
Yeah.
The seeker.
The seeker.
Roll for initiative.
Oh, boy.
So this is a new roll for initiative. A new.
Yes. So this moves
to where you, to where you are.
Can you explain the hourglass to Eric and people who are just tuning in for the first time?
So in Shadowdark,
Initiative
is done by everybody rolls. It's modified by your dex. And then the highest score goes first. And then initiative always proceeds clockwise from there.
Yep.
And so since we, unlike I think a lot of tables, always sit in the same exact position.
Sure.
We got into a situation where in this game, I never wanted to roll a high initiative because the monsters would always go right after me.
Interesting.
We always want Skid to. And so we came up with this method of the hourglass actually is our torch timer when we need a torch. So we use it for that. But then it serves a second purpose, which is it represents the position of the GM in initiative. And it moves after, you know, at the start of a new combat.
Okay. Yeah.
So that now Troy's actually where he is. But it's done one loop around the table.
So many precautions based on you rolling well on dice.
So now we're that back even to happen? Me wanting to roll poorly.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well,
this craze is sweeping the nation. Shadow and Arc tables all over the
world. They're all adopting this.
Are
this
buying
thing.
Ridiculous hourglasses.
They are. Uh-huh.
Glass Cannon branded hourglasses available.
Wow. Wow. Caps. Now you're talking. Whoa. Whoa. Sure, they'll be cheap and easy to ship.
He's an idea guy.
Yeah.
Is this glass? I think it's plastic.
It's plastic.
All right. So we can ship these.
Oh wait. Is that glass?
Is it glass?
I think that's glass.
Hit it.
That's glass.
No, bang it
against the table.
See if it bounces.
That's glass. I think that's glass.
That is real sand in there, though.
Is that glass?
That's real sand.
That's glass.
Oh, that's glass. That sounds like glass. Yeah.
That is real sand.
Hmm.
It's cool.
The red sands of Tatooine.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. I'm rolling this boulder to see what happens.
YouTube video just got flagged for copyright.
Can't say Tatooine.
Oh my God. Do you want me to roll this?
Yeah, you should roll initiative too, as if you...
You rolled a 20?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that's kind of thematically amazing.
Oh my God.
You rolled a natural 20?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I rolled a natural 18, so
that's pretty good.
God. Amazing. Great. Okay. Perfect.
Well.
All right, so this is fucking awesome.
All right.
What is happening?
So you're all kind of in the same area with Morris Day, Ferroni Jones, Bet, Porcupissa Labrecrombie. The Seeker isn't there. The
kid's in Warwick's arms.
And the kid's in Warwick's arms.
And so he's shieldless. He has a sword out in his left hand. His right hand over his right shoulder is the kid.
All right, so we're just sweeping from face to face of these heroes who are now in the most dire position they have been in. Perhaps since the war. This is a dragon. Shadowdark is not a game that is necessarily balanced for the players.
No.
Random shit happens that puts you in circumstances that are sometimes well beyond you, where survival is the goal, not beating the monster.
Right.
This is one of those situations. That doesn't mean you can't beat the monster, but it will take a collection of luck that may not be possible.
Speaking of which.
Oh, yes. Oh, I need. Give me.
Now.
I'm full already.
You're full?
Wow. Then you give me
your stuff.
Full? Thank you, Skip.
One for you. Now, that being said, it's also my job just to TPK you. It's my job to present you with possibly unwinnable solution situations and see what you do.
Hey, Game Bro.
I don't believe in an no-win scenario.
So we see all these faces, and we see Warwick last of all. And we close in on you, and then we move to your shoulder to this child whose head lifts up.
What does he look like?
What?
This was a young boy, and he is got brown hair and kind of like a bowl cut sort of a thing. And he's got a big gap in front of his two front teeth. And as you're carrying him, his head turns and looks up at you, and he goes,
"You're poking me with your sword hilt, my lord."
He's stunned, wakes up, hears his voice as a child waking up, turns back around to you. "There's no time. We have to run."
"All right, don't let me get in your way."
"Stay steady."
And he just hugs you like even tighter.
Oh man. Oh. Okay.
"Thank you for rescuing me."
What? Don't turn around.
Still in the process. Yeah.
"I thought those orcs was going to kill me for sure, but now I'm rescued. And now, oh shit."
Coming up towards you in the swamp.
Oh my god.
I hold even tighter.
You have the ability to take an action here as you own the initiative, but if you're just feel like you need to help in the escape, you can do that too.
I am going to hold on tight and just I'm gonna say,
don't let me die.
I won't, just hold on tight, we're getting out of here now.
All right,
hold on tight.
And I just like grab onto you with my fingers. There's just something about my grip that's like really tight, but who knows why.
Okay.
Terror, Daddy, probably.
Caps. Ellison, Ricks. I think you're catching up to the party here. So you're in that area, but you're a little behind. You see more waves of orcs are starting to come because now they need to protect their village, as well as try and gain these villagers back, these prisoners that they took.
I set myself a reminder last time we played.
Yep. I have it in my notes.
Did you record my reminder?
In all caps, I wrote, "Remember the egg, Matthew."
The egg.
Remember the egg.
So Ellison will reach into his bag.
Oh, the egg.
The egg. And I believe the seeker, I couldn't identify it, but the seeker told me that it would summon something.
Something.
A flying, did it say a flying creature or did it say?
I can't remember.
Let me see if I wrote it down.
A dragon fighter?
I hope so.
It's a light blue ribbed egg.
Ribbed.
Ribbed.
Yeah. For our pleasure.
I don't know if we got any more Chomp. Information.
I believe the seeker told me, I asked about how to activate it, and he told me something to the effect of, "You just gotta want it enough."
I think we want it pretty bad.
Yeah,
I think Ellison wants it pretty bad. So
I've never wanted anything more.
Ellison's going to pull out the egg and try to activate it and summon something to help us in this moment.
Okay, so what do you do?
He's going to kind of use his knowledge of magic and his powers of intellect. He's going to try to imbue it with magical energy and try to, whatever it is,
bring it forth.
Bring it forth, activate it.
Joe
touchstone.
Joe holding his arm back made me think it was like a Pokemon. Like you're gonna like throw it. Like,
yeah, right in front of the dragon.
Try to.
And then it opens up.
Open it up. Yeah.
All right. So you hold the egg aloft in this deep marsh, and you focus on it, and we just close in on the egg as all of a sudden it just splits open, and we see
Ellison's eyes go pupilless.
Close up, yeah, you go all white in the eyes as this phoenix emerges.
Whoa!
What? And then we pan out and see that the phoenix is only this big.
Oh!
About the size of a candlepin bowling ball.
Oh! Right?
Miniature phoenix.
So anticlimactic.
Oh my, you've been holding that for a week.
But it's a phoenix. Amazing. I mean, it could still do.
What a phoenix downer.
Could still do something.
Nice.
I will implore the phoenix. "Protect us, please. The dragon." And then I'll shout to everyone.
Run! All right, so the phoenix will fly and attempt to rend the dragon.
Okay.
You have stats for the phoenix?
I do.
I can play it.
I do.
Is it in the book?
No, because I'm adjusting the actual phoenix with a miniature phoenix.
Then you roll.
Okay. So you get four attacks.
Whoa.
Great.
At a +1.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. I will roll then. Okay. First attack.
Here we go. Oh, come on, Phoenix!
My snoozed reminder came up. Use egg on the dragon.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Done. 11.
Okay, miss.
10.
Okay.
20.
20 hits.
Okay, and then... 4. Can I use my... can I use one of my caps to turn the Phoenix's hit into a crit?
Sure. All right.
Oh, oh. Somebody got grenade.
Sorry.
On your nose bone.
You okay?
Sorry.
Right here, right on my orbital bone.
Wow. Yeah. Orbital bone.
For the listening audience, it bounced off his hand. I wasn't trying to stab him in the eye.
We'll never know. All right, so.
Go to the video evidence.
All right, it's 1d4 damage.
2d4. 2d4.
2d4, yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Well.
This egg. Hey, as long as it takes its attention.
3 points of damage.
3 points of damage. Now, it does have a heat aura. We'll see if that affects this dragon when it comes to it. Okay, so you use your action to summon this and then...
I'll start running.
Start running. Okay, Warwick. The child is awake.
Yeah, the child is awake and he's holding on tight to Warwick, and I think Warwick is... I mean, normally he'd have everybody run and he stands against the bulwark of this dragon, but he's got this kid and the kid is holding on now.
Yeah.
Like, gripping onto him. So he's going to turn and run from the dragon toward the boat. And, you know, so you basically can look back.
I'm like
and
looking see at the dragon.
Oh my God.
Right? And he just starts, he'll just start running away.
Okay.
Blade in hand.
You might want to go faster, me lord.
It is.
I'm no lord.
Ferroni Jones's turn, looking at what you did, Ferroni Jones is going to follow suit and just try and like slosh through the mud, which would make it the dragon's turn. The dragon's actions are determined by the roll of a d6.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Great.
All right. One of these Johnskys. Okay.
I've created a system back here that I think is pretty forgiving, unless it turns sour, in which case it's not forgiving at all.
Okay.
So
it's all about the dice.
It's all about the dice.
Wait, so did the heat aura work?
The heat aura, I will roll a constitution check for the heat aura. A constitution roll, and I crushed it with a 21.
Well, maybe
that
the Phoenix.
Done
maybe
a little damage.
Maybe it can just keep killing the Phoenix.
It's just
for a while.
Floating over this thing. The dragon comes up. The dragon. Okay.
I don't like that face you're making.
It swoops up towards you and just. Brutalizes Morris Day. And just tears Morris Day limb from limb.
Oh my God.
Ignoring the Phoenix that just bit it.
Ignoring the Phoenix. Right. I randomly rolled to see.
No.
Just Morris Day is in pieces that are now just floating to the bottom of the swamp.
Oh, not good.
This kid just saw it.
In the dark.
Yeah, I just saw it.
I feel like it's not eating the things it kills. I feel like that's not good for its digestion.
You have to go.
We'll see. It is Pharaoh's turn.
Pharaoh is gonna. So, and I'm sort of a. Am I alone right now? Am I?
You're with the group. You're
with the group.
Withish.
All right. We'll see. So now Warwick has double moved with the kid ahead. I'm a single move behind him. So you're what far, and I'm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm near.
Okay, Warwick. Is just going to turn and run away from the dragon. And he is going to try to cast Protection from Evil on himself in a blind panic. It's natural one.
Oh!
Oh, no.
That is a mishap.
Is that a mishap on Divine? No. They have mishaps.
Yeah, that is our first.
It's our first one.
It's our first mishap. I was thinking about this the other day when I was prepping that we haven't had a mishap yet. Now, they work differently for wizards and priests.
Yeah, so priests don't have a mishap table. Wizards are
you
the
have
table.
It right
I have it right here. So, a critical failure for a priest spell. If the spell is a priest spell, your deity is greatly displeased and revokes its power.
Whoa.
This sucks for you. You can't cast that spell again until you complete a ritualistic penance to your deity and successfully complete rest. I'm sure the Seeker would help you with that penance.
I don't want his help. He doesn't want his help.
Thank Geed for the Seeker.
At least he didn't see this happen.
Do you want to hear about penance?
Yeah, there's do I have to do?
It's a penance table, right?
Yes. Well, there's a... So the GM determines the exact nature of the penance you must undertake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry in advance.
Based on your deity and your alignment, penance requires a holy quest, ritualistic atonement, or material sacrifice that you donate or destroy. Inadequate or subversive penance, such as donating your sacrifice to a party member, only displeases your deity further and makes the spell lost permanent.
Oh my god.
So the spell tier, so if you were to do a sacrifice, the spell tier one, right? Because it's the first level spell.
Yeah, tier one.
The value is 5 gold pieces. So you have to sacrifice something. If Troy determines the sacrifice is what's necessary and not a holy quest. Or ritualistic atonement.
God. All I know is to make this mishap really land, it's going to have to involve Pharaoh interacting with the Seeker.
Yes. Worse than anything on any mishap table.
Oh my god. What was the spell you were trying to cast?
Protection from evil.
Protection from evil. Okay.
So I must have done it. I must have performed the action of casting the spell in some kind of profane way that offended Geed.
Or maybe Geed is picking up on your hatred of Geed's chosen follower.
Yeah.
Seeker.
Oh, maybe.
Geed does not care for the competition you feel.
Geed's followers are supposed to work in concert.
Yes.
Cooperate.
All right.
Gosh, I'm looking at the wizard mishap table, and I hope we never.
Some of it's.
I hope we never come to that.
It's game-breakingly bad. It's like your head explodes.
Oh my god!
Well, here's one. You scream uncontrollably for 3 rounds in primordial, drawing lots of attention.
All right, so it now goes to Sydney, who is playing a character named Saint.
Good catch.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Need
so
a second.
That's for new listeners. I'm Sydney. My character is Saint.
Now, did you buy that Waffle House shirt at the Waffle House?
I think Xavier did. Yeah, we have a hoodie too. It's one of my favorite items of clothing. I love this shirt.
It's a great shirt. You know, that's why I was curious if you bought it at the Waffle House, because they notoriously don't sell their coffee mugs.
Yeah.
And people love the coffee mugs, and so they have to steal them.
Oh, you don't know the trick.
No, this is a trick?
Yeah. You get it for free if you fight.
Oh, you have to.
They must go through a lot of them.
And you have to win. Is the thing. Yeah.
That's the catch.
That seems like a lot of
past effort. 12 o'clock, it starts. Past midnight, if you fight and you win, they give you merch.
I think she should steal one.
Well,
that's why she has two shirts.
That might start a fight.
What do you want to do here? Seems like everyone is running away. Do notice Pharaoh's trying to do something, but nothing's happening.
Did Ferroni, Bet, and Porky Pistol also run?
Yeah, are the NPCs running?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If Warwick had stood his ground and fought, I think Ferroni may have taken that as a cue, but Ferroni is sort of just following the group here.
I think, unlike the Waffle House where I would throw down, I don't think Saint. I don't think Saint.
This isn't a Waffle House.
I'm just really terrified you're going to walk into a Waffle House, someone's going to recognize you and just
deck
like,
me.
Yeah, it's just like sucker punch you. Me.
I mean, if you sucker punch, you're gonna win. I'm gonna get knocked out.
It's coffee mug o'clock.
Fair fights only.
fair fights only.
I think Saint, seeing Warwick run, definitely seeing Warwick run. Saint's not sticking around. We're not fighting a dragon. He just ripped Morris Day apart. I just rescued that man. Saint is going to hood on. Doesn't store his bow. He was using his bow against those orcs. But he will just start sprinting, bow in hand, and I will double move to get to where Warwick is, just running. And he calls out to Pharaoh, you know, come on! And just keeps going.
Okay. As you get about halfway there, there is like a little movement in the swamp in front of you. And all of a sudden, the Seeker rises up
from
the swamp and says, hold on there, hold on. And he touches you. And I'm going to attempt to cast Protection from Evil on you.
Skid.
And he crushes it.
Oh my god. So fucked up.
So you have Protection from Evil, and he's like touching you, and he looks back at Pharaoh. Don't worry.
Covered in mud.
Geed is with us.
And he grabs Seeker's hand.
Oh, wow.
And Saint says, and we got to go.
All right.
What does that give me?
That gives you...
They have enemies who are chaotic have disadvantage against him, as long as he maintains focus.
I wonder if this dragon...
Yep, disadvantage on attack rolls and hostile spellcasting checks. You also can't be possessed.
Compelled or possessed.
Still angry from that phone call.
It's impossible to compest anyone.
Yeah.
You're uncompestable.
The seeker says you can't be compessed now. Yeah. Saint says, what?
The power of Geed compest you.
What?
What? What? Seeker's wasted.
Can I keep moving then?
Yes, and you pull him with you.
Yeah, I pull him with me.
All right, so the Seeker goes with you. I'm going to have the Seeker just always go on your turn because he's your personal advisor. Comes now to this child who has been gripping Warwick's arm very tightly.
His eyes grow super wide as he sees Morris Day just torn apart. And he kind of, you feel him just sort of wiggling around a little bit in your grasp. And he gets his gap-toothed mouth right up to your ears, and he goes,
I think you should be stronger, but you might also get angry.
And he casts a spell.
Oh.
He reaches down one of his hands and he touches you like in the belly, and he says, this will put fire in your belly. And he casts Evoke Rage on Warwick.
What the?
Which
what?
I believe means I need to roll a die.
You sure do.
Ooh.
A little casting rage check.
I got a 14 and I need an 11.
Yeah.
So you're successful.
Good.
So I cast Evoke Rage on Warwick. What that does is it calls out the berserk rage locked inside someone. One willing humanoid, so I guess you got to decide if you're willing, but I'm very soothing the way I say it to you. You enter a berserk state, you're immune to morale checks, you have advantage on strength checks, and melee attacks, and you gain 1d4 damage for the spell's duration.
Wow.
Mostly,
awesome.
I just don't want you to drop me, my lord.
The duration is...
Is it a focus spell?
Rage is usually 3 rounds.
It's d4 rounds.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so let's see if I can find a d4 somewhere.
If the target does not attack another creature on its turn, the spell ends.
Oh, well, I don't know that. So so you get a 4 rounds.
Oh, rocks!
Wow.
4 rounds of rage.
I mean, feel free to attack if you want.
You better punch this kid in the face and keep that spell going.
Yeah, you can attack me, my lord.
Yeah. Rounds is a bear.
It's a bear.
I've got 8 points to spare.
I just had to keep the spell going.
That is crazy. Okay.
That's a cool spell.
That's a cool moment.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see what happens right after this break.
Whoa.
What I've dedicated my life to is revenge.
A brand new drama based on the best-selling novel.
They think they're better than us.
Who do you think you are?
I'm going to prove to them that they're wrong.
She's punishing me.
You destroyed my family. I will not rest until I've destroyed yours.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
McDonald's cards are here. 24 cards to find and free food in every pack. Enter cards in the McDonald's app and complete sets with over £4 million in cash prizes to be won. McDonald's cards. 18 plus UK only with selected meals subject to availability. Ends 27th of April. App may be required. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Oh, please, not that music. That music gives me nightmares from my childhood.
Could we get something a little bit lighter? Some lighter music here.
Are you a fan of true crime TV shows?
And what about Unsolved Mysteries, the show that jump-started all of our love of true crime?
I'm Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Joey Taranto.
And we host I Think Not, a true crime comedy podcast covering some of the wildest stories from your favorite true crime campy TV shows all the way to Unsolved Mysteries.
Baby, you will laugh, you will cry, you'll think about true crime in a whole new way, and you'll also ask yourself, who gave these people mics?
New episodes of I Think Not are released every Wednesday with bonus episodes out every Thursday on Patreon.
And every Monday, you can listen to our True Crime Run Down, where we go over the top true crime headlines of the week.
So come and join us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We're back. It's now Ellison's turn. Ellison, you see, I don't even know if you see this sort of exchange go on between the child and Warwick. You're so focused on survival at this point.
This spellcasting child.
Yeah, this spellcasting child who lives in Marin's Hall.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Evoke rage.
What is, if I'm rushing away from this dragon, do I see any orcs approaching?
Yes, there is a contingent of orcs coming from two sides, but now where you're sort of going out towards the northeast, they're kind of coming in as like a triangle towards you with the dragon in the middle. So they're going to come after the dragon before they're going to get to you unless they're using ranged attacks on you.
Okay.
But at this point, the dragon is a greater threat to them.
Yeah, I want
to. If anything, you need them.
I really want the dragon to turn and focus on the orcs.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to think of ways I can make them more palatable, but they'd be far from me. So it's not
cast barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Wave of BBQ.
Summon the honey mustard. But there's not a lot I can do it, but from this range. So I think for now, I'm just going to keep running. I'll double move.
Okay. Is there any part of you that thinks that maybe if you combined your powers, all of you could take down the dragon? Or is that crazy?
It's a dragon.
How wounded does it look from that phoenix thing? Very small.
Very little.
Yeah.
But the phoenix can.
But the phoenix can get
another
out?
Attack, yeah.
The phoenix will attack. Does it have four attacks?
Four attacks, yeah.
Okay.
The question is,
I should have touched the phoenix.
Yeah, seriously. Give the phoenix rage.
I still can.
Imagine phoenix.
All right, first attack. Well, that's a d12. That's not a d20.
Yeah, that's not how
that's not going to be
that's
very
how
effective.
Most of these games work.
Okay, 15. Nope.
Oh,
wow.
15 again.
Oh, no.
Boy.
18.
Okay.
And 13 miss.
All right, 1d4 damage.
4 damage.
Okay.
More than the crit.
Yes.
He really struck a vital area.
I really would like to know this phoenix's name.
Well, if he survives, you can talk to him after the fight if you speak with phoenixes. Which I don't think.
I was hoping it was like inscribed on the egg or something.
Right, yes.
Mortimer.
We'll deal with that later.
Mortimer.
It's so weird. I was thinking Mortimer.
Whoa.
And Mortimer. I didn't say it, but in my head, Mortimer was the first name that came.
Wow.
He's a magical child.
Wow.
Whoa.
It's got this shining thing going on.
Yeah.
Mortimer the Phoenix. It just makes sense.
Mortimer. Yeah.
Phoenix Mortimer.
Well, I guess if
Mortimer.
He's got a name, then.
Great.
Or something like River.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Joaquin.
Trevor. So you guys all can go to the Viper Club after this. All right, what do you want to do, Warwick?
Oh, man.
Hey, Phoenix, if we get out of here, we should go let off some steam at the Viper Club.
I'm trying to figure out this rage situation. How close are we to the boat?
It means anger.
The boat? The boat is...
really far.
You're going for our audio listeners, you're going to the northeast, the boat is to the northwest.
No. All we've said from the beginning is we're running to the boat.
You're taking the long way to the boat. So
it's still like not reachable in the next round or two. It's far away.
No. Okay. I've been finally catching up on House of the Dragon. You see how fast those fucking things move?
Dragons?
Yeah,
they are winged.
They're winged dragons.
They are winged, but this dragon seems at home in this marsh. Whereas you guys are just like so really, you're just hoping it doesn't attack you.
Right.
Choose not to take the offensive.
I mean, it seems like the odds of us even hitting this thing once are slim.
Yeah, you need at least advantage on attack rolls.
Yeah. So this doesn't seem like a good idea.
I also feel like my arrows won't do... Piercing feels like it won't do much to a dragon hide.
But. Listen to your heart, me lord.
Jeez.
Time. No! Lord! Hit the ground.
This kid covered in mud.
Pushing his face in the mud.
I'm drowning, Lord!
I'm just keep extending the storm!
Alright. Okay. I am going to roll a die here for my action.
Nice.
Okay. Because I don't know what to do.
That's the coward's way.
So I am going to do...
I often use it.
Yeah, because I think that there's the evoke rage. It doesn't say you have to mindlessly go after enemies.
No.
But I do love the idea of him, whatever this child's touch did to him, making him lose his senses and go into a battle rage.
Yeah. Filled him with fury unexpectedly.
However,
out of nowhere.
I am aware that like doing so could not only doom myself to death, but everybody.
So the die is the rage. I like that. That's not so cowardly as I thought.
Yeah. So what I want to do is roll a wisdom check. And I'm immune to morale checks, but I'm going to do a wisdom check
Why don't you set a DC
that
you're comfortable with? And if I
24.
And if I beat it, if I beat it, I will turn that rage into just like running away and lose the spell after this round. If I don't beat it, and my wisdom is not very great, he's going to turn and go to fight.
Okay, I'm going to set it high.
Okay.
I know there are a lot of people that like to just go with the four difficulty classes, 9, 12, 15, and 18, but I'm not most people. I'm going to set it at DC 16.
Oh, oh, man. All right, so that's it. Here we go. North Foundry.
No!
1920.
Yes.
Okay. On the new Johnski.
Wow.
Dude. How gorgeous. Might have just saved my life.
Yeah.
He's tired of running. And he, like, looks back, and he sees, like, he hadn't seen it. He sees just, like, the mess of Morris Dade's body.
It's like a piece of his head is just going under this one.
Oh, yeah. God. And he, yeah, exactly. And he sees the orcs fighting it, and he sees Pharaoh running toward him. Saint is right next to him. Ellison has already kind of like run past him, and you see this kind of like red like glow in his eyes, and he wants to kill that fucking dragon so bad. But he just sees the orcs like coming in to fight it, and it going Throwing to fight spear. The orcs, and logic just sort of takes over, and he's like, in a rage, he turns and he's going to grip you like crazy tight.
I look very surprised. Like, I was not expecting this to happen.
I'm going to do some damage to
him.
Oh, you get the spell going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does 3 points of damage to you as he like,
just the spirit starts
sprinting and running with you. Like, he's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to hold on
right,
tight.
Right.
It's like, too tight, too much.
It's the grip is too tight. And he just
like, starts running through the swamp.
Jeez.
I love that. all right. Well, Ferroni Jones, Mr. February, Bet, Porky Pistol Abercrombie, the three of them just do their best to try and keep up. They are lagging behind. They don't have your strength, but it's not like you guys are far apart, but they're in the back, which makes them very easy to be torn apart. And let's see what this dragon does.
Well, come on. You can't, like, lift the veil a little bit here. Is this just actions?
Listen to the bone con.
Are you rolling actions or are you rolling targets?
I'm rolling a d6, and I've determined what each number on the d6 means.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. This one.
Second.
Oh, brutal. It's just like, and you see Bet and Mr. February are like trying to catch up to you, and Porky Pistol Abercrombie's in the back, and Porky Pistol Abercrombie is just like running, not even looking back, and it just comes up and rends Porky Pistol Abercrombie in half, and then before the other half can like hit the swamp, it comes down and just ravages the other half. Two villagers now dead.
All this risk that we took. Like,
I know. All this work for undone.
The finest prize is still in hand, me lord. Run faster.
There's so many things that could happen, but like this, yes, you're not getting attacked, but now you're showing up back to Marin's Hold if you even make it back there with
empty-handed.
Now, you know, three prisoners are gone. But the child yet lives.
The child who, if they knew the truth about him, they'd burn him at the stake.
They'd burn him at the stake tomorrow night at the big Burning at the Stake Festival. Farrah.
Pharaoh is in a blind panic. Geed has abandoned him. He can feel it. And now part of him on some level, he knows that he's going to have to submit his will to the fucking Seeker to get it back. And so, but he's just absolutely terrified, like looking, especially now. And so, yeah, he's just moving with all of his might through the swamp water, like trying to get back to the boat.
So. Moving all his might back towards that boat. I'm going to determine very soon how far away you are from that boat. But in the meantime, it is the Seeker and Saint's turn.
I mean, I think we keep running. Warwick isn't fighting. I don't see why Saint would try to aggro the dragon and get its attention while it seems unfortunately occupied with the villagers. But Saint is horrified. I mean,
the orcs are loosing arrows at it. Most of them are missing. Some of them are just bouncing off of its scales that are half submerged in the swamp. And it's just kind of looking around at easy targets. But it's really right in the middle of your fleeing group and these other orcs that are trying to like close on it while also keeping their distance.
I'm just wondering, like, I don't think I have anything. I'm trying to think creatively, like, I could throw something and distract it. I'm like, I don't have anything that would make sense.
Lure grenade. You need an arc reader.
I need a lure grenade.
We forgot your constitution check for the Phoenix's aura.
Oh my God, how can we forget that?
We need the aura.
90-19.
Wow, you're rolling rocks.
Yeah, good thing they're not attacks against you guys.
For real.
Saint is going to keep running. He's going to double move unless Seeker says something, but like he's just going to drag Seeker by the cloak and keep moving towards the boat.
He's just praying, Geed, those who laugh in the face of your beautiful godlike lips will rue this day.
Saint can't hear him. Saint is dragging him.
And now it is the child's
child.
Time.
Oh my God. The child is being yanked along most unceremoniously by Warwick. And so, having no equipment, no spells that will help at this moment, I think what I'm going to try and do is just reposition myself, like punch the monkey kind of hanging on to Warwick even more tightly so that you don't have to pull me as much. I'm just on you like a monkey.
Okay.
And I'm like, please run faster. We've lost two more.
Maybe he'll adjust you like just a little bit. Just be like, hold on.
All right.
And,
so that's.
And to free up his hand, and you can just kind
of
hold.
That's
on
what I'm going to do with all of my strength.
His knee is like digging into
which
your...
is five.
Wow. Your five strength.
Five strength.
Yeah.
Okay. Allison.
Keep running.
Keep running.
And then Phoenix. And then the Phoenix.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, the Phoenix.
Changing dice.
Yes, that die sucked. Let's go.
This. 16?
16's a hit.
Okay.
Okay.
Miss. 15, which is a miss. So one hit.
1d4.
So it was AC 16. Okay.
All two right. Points of damage.
Okay.
Chipping away.
He keeps ignoring the Phoenix. The Phoenix is doing more damage than the orcs.
All right.
Certainly more than Porky Pizzle Jones.
It's Warwick's turn. After no, this sorry. Turn.
Porky Pizzle
Abercrombie is now deceased.
Yeah. That's right, deceased.
It is Warwick's turn. At the end of your turn, I'm going to determine how many rounds away you are from the boat should you continue to flee.
Okay.
He says, hold on!
And he feels like this child did something strange to him. However, he can't think about that much or prove it at this time. But the kid seems to have a really good grip and can hold it on himself. So he's readjusted and he's freed his arm. So he's going to pull out his shield onto his other hand. He already had his sword out. He's just, hold on! And he's going to keep running and try to keep an eye, you know, behind him on this thing and lose the spell.
But the shield's out.
The shield is out.
He loses the spell. Okay. Ferony Jones.
And he's going to call to Allison, where is it? But do you see it? It's a big fucking dragon! No, the boat, sorry. The boat, you fool! Where's the boat? I know where the dragon is!
I'll know in about one round!
Okay. Ferony Jones and Bet will keep pace as best they can. I don't even think they've noticed that Porky Pizzle has been torn.
I barely think we noticed. It's
hard.
I saw it all!
I know the poor kid is like, because you're running forward and the kid is watching.
All of it.
The dragon will go, but first I want to tell you, you are two rounds from reaching the boat.
Okay.
Okay. And reaching the boat isn't necessarily like, we made it. You know what I mean? It's just going to allow you to
move faster,
retreat more rapidly.
Yeah. Is there, tell me this or not, is there an outcome on your D6 roll that does involve the orcs that are...
Oh, like yes.
That? Okay.
In
okay.
fact, it's the most likely. It just hasn't happened. Oh. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like the most likely.
It doesn't. And I'll take it a step further. That initial attack when it emerged at the end of last episode, even that was randomly determined. So that could have come on you as well. So that was the one that was positive.
Oh.
Here we go.
Okay.
Gosh.
Can we bottle cap this?
No. I don't think you should.
I don't think you should.
You're on horse!
Okay.
We going to Orc Town?
No, this is an environmental disaster.
Oh, good.
All right, so... the dragon, after ripping apart Morris Day and Porky Pistol Abercrombie is now getting attacked on multiple fronts by these orcs, while also seeing easy prey retreat from them in the form of you. And you're not even fighting it.
And a phoenix.
I'm going to say it begins sort of splashing about in such a way that causes this like swamp upheaval where mud and muck and grime go everywhere. So everybody give me a dexterity roll.
Dexterity?
To avoid having this land in your face.
Oh my gosh.
What's Joe's dexterity?
What are you doing?
Negative one.
I'm just gonna, spoiler, boy. It was not much result for all that effort.
Yeah.
Nine. That's a gentleman's nine.
It's okay, I got a seven.
Okay.
Oh. I got a six.
Six.
Unnatural 20.
A natural. Unnatural 20?
Unnatural 20.
Did you just coin that phrase?
Unnatural 20.
It's like a dirty 20?
Yeah.
You said that before.
Unnatural 20.
Unnatural 20.
I like that.
Ooh, an unnatural 20.
Ooh. Oh, stay away.
Unnatural.
It's a Ouija board.
I got an 11.
Okay.
We're not very dexterous.
Yeah, everyone.
Speak for
you.
Everyone, you're with the exception of Saint, just got like a splatter of mud in your eyes. Okay, so this is going to give you a disadvantage on eye-based, perception-based decisions.
Eye-based skills.
Eye-based skills.
Looking, for example.
You know, any actions that require sight.
Winking. If it's like, oh, they look attractive.
I need like practice speaking when I'm alone. Sometimes my words fail. All right, so now it's Farrah's turn.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's,
got mud in your eyes.
Yeah. So, no, there's mud in my eyes. He's trying to get all like me and screaming. Screaming, it burns the swamp water in his. And he's running and he's thinking, it's like, I'll never wake again. I'll never fight the wave. And he's just running half blind, still in the direction of the boat. He's trying to.
Okay. Saint.
I mean, I didn't get mud
in
my eyes.
This is the start of one round. And then at the end of Warwick's next turn, you'll be at the boat.
Yeah, Saint is just going to sprint towards
the
boat.
You see everybody just kind of like. Squinting.
He calls out sort of like a follow my voice and he says, this way!
Seeker rolled a natty 17 on the dex.
He is blessed.
Heed's eyes are watching us.
He calls out like, I could see the river! This way! And he just keeps sprinting.
Follow Geed's voice! I speak through him.
I speak through him.
Wait, what?
I speak through him.
Sure, that's blasphemy.
The gum you like to chew is
coming back to style.
Look at this table. It's for Micah.
So creepy.
With this ring, I be wed. All right, kid.
Yes.
What do you do?
I say, keep running, me lord. We're almost there.
Keep running, my lord. We're almost there. Ellison.
Running, trying to see through the mud.
Starting to go a different direction towards somebody else's boat. Warwick.
I follow the sound of Saint's voice.
Follow Geed's voice. You follow Geed's eyes.
He wipes the mud from his eyes, the back of his head.
Watch your wiggling, me lord.
And then the sword just hits the boy right in the face. He's trying to wipe the mud and run. And maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he can't double move. Maybe he's got to spend.
It slows you down a little bit. Yeah. Slows you down a little bit. Okay, so now where you were, you were already in the back, but now you're even a little further back.
Yeah.
With your shield out. Dragon time.
Dragon dance.
What did I roll? I'm not going to look.
Constitution check.
Okay, I already rolled this d6.
Different die.
I'm going to hold it. But I don't want to uncover it, so I'm going to roll it. You didn't attack with your phoenix, buddy.
Yes, I did.
Not this past round.
Not this last round, you didn't.
You didn't?
Oh, I didn't.
Yes. Oops. I'm going to roll the constitution check. Oh, I failed.
Oh.
Okay.
What happens?
I'm going to take 1d2 heat damage.
Nice.
Okay.
That should finish
now
him off.
Now is our time.
Yeah.
Turn. Find it.
Finish it off.
Okay, 1-2 is 1.
1d2 minus 1. No, 1d2.
1d2 minus 1.
1 point of heat damage.
Yes.
Ah! Ah, the dragon screams.
Burn, burn, you bastard.
What did I roll on the D6 to determine what the dragon's going to do? Find out after this break.
Oh, very smooth, LaValle.
You son of a bitch.
Hi, this is Rob Benedict.
And I am Richard Speight. We were both on a little show you might know called Supernatural.
It had a pretty good run, 15 seasons, 327 episodes.
And though we have seen, of course, every episode many times, we figured, hey, now that we're wrapped, let's watch it all again.
And we can't do that alone. So we're inviting the cast and crew that made the show along for the ride. We've got writers, producers, composers, directors, and we'll of course have some actors on as well, including some certain guys that played some certain pretty iconic brothers.
It was kind of a little bit of a left field choice in the best way possible.
The note from Kripke was, he's great, we love him, but we're looking for like a really intelligent Duchovny type.
With 15 seasons to explore, it's going to be the road trip of several lifetimes. So please join us and subscribe to Supernatural then and now.
Hi, I'm Brian Lucci, a former Chicago cop. Now I'm a producer on Chicago PD, and I'd like to introduce you to the official One Chicago podcast. The first ever behind-the-scenes look at the iconic TV shows. We're talking Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med. Join me each week for an exclusive conversation with the writers, the crew members, and the stars.
Void's doing the right thing for Void.
Check out the One Chicago podcast from Wolf Entertainment and USG Audio. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or as the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
We're back. Our breaks last at least 25 minutes.
And holding your hand the whole time.
Moved. I'm getting like arthritis in my hand here. All right, here it comes. Man, when you think about how these are going to go before the actual encounter starts, you have a vision of like what it's going to be. And I never envisioned this. Okay. So you guys are retreating. You're now within 6 seconds away from the boat, essentially. The orcs are closing in behind, but what's happening is their offense is pushing the dragon back towards you because the dragon is not turning its attention to the orcs, who it could very easily wipe out with its breath, with its attacks, whatever. It keeps pursuing you. And it catches up with poor Bet. And it grabs Bet around the waist, throws Bet up in the air, and just catches it in its mouth. And just devours Bet. And you just see her, no, my fish, as she's swallowed.
Oh, no.
Her last thoughts
her
were
last
of her fish.
Words were my fish.
She really loves what she did. That's so sad.
My fish is her last words. You just see her face go back past the uvula of this horrible
fishmonger. I feel like we barely fish knew her.
Yeah, she will monger no longer.
She's a monger no longer.
There's your episode title.
I can't even name it that way because they'll be like, no, not Bet. I roll to see randomly, and I'm just so glad that Mr. February has survived thus far.
Oh, but thank God.
Holy shit. After
the only dude.
The only attractive member of
Hi, wait a minute.
After all of this.
We haven't seen him yet.
Four villagers that you tried to save have perished. But the good news is you're pretty close to that boat. Pharaoh.
He looks back in brief horror, barely half seeing what happened. Poor Bet the fishmonger's and he's just like screaming now and just like trying to find the boat and just keeps double moving towards it.
My fish. Say it.
I'm writing down Porky Pistol died, Bet died, Morris Day died. Damn it.
They might have had fun stories.
They could have had so much more they wanted to tell us.
Makes life a little easier on me now. I just got to worry about
at least
Brody Jones.
At least we got Porky Pistol's name. It would have been a true tragedy if we never asked her name before she died.
Who's going to tell Mr. Abercrombie?
We will.
Let's be honest. There was no Mr. Abercrombie.
She was beautiful. All right. So Saint is going to sprint. And now I can get to the boat in these two moves.
After Warwick's turn, actually after the Dragoon's turn, you can begin getting in the boat.
I can't
think. It's right there.
I know. I'm like.
So she like reaches it, but can't do it.
Yeah, you reach up to it. And,
okay. Okay.
Like making sure everything's set.
Yeah.
You're still on Warwick's shoulders.
Just hanging on for dear life.
Hanging on for dear life.
Run faster, please.
Allison. Okay.
The Phoenix will attack.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Our only hope.
Miss. One hit with a 16. Miss.
Need a nat 20.
Natural 19 for dirty 20. So two hits.
Okay. Two hits.
Go, bud.
2 points of damage.
Is it distracted?
No, but it disappears. Phoenix was only meant to be around for 3 rounds, and I gave you 4 because it didn't attack last round. The Phoenix dissipates.
Well.
Wow, that egg.
Why the hell did those orcs have that egg on them? We got it off the bodies of these orcs. It looked nice.
It was almost like it was a random treasure.
And we got XP for the treasure.
You did get XP for the treasure.
Okay.
Yeah. And it distracted.
It didn't.
Maybe thematically, that's why I'm not rolling the one number that means attack you guys, that the Phoenix has distracted it enough. Joe?
Running. Sprinting and reaching the boat. I can see it there.
I should just let Joe roll a D6. It'd be so funny.
Oh, nope.
No. Please no.
How dare you?
Roll your own D6.
I'll roll my own D6. All right, I'm going to switch up D6. Well, no, this one is statistically due, right? That's how it works. Okay. I don't even know if I want to attack you. This is bad. All right, here we go.
You don't have to roll.
You're right up to the boat.
You have godlike power over this universe. You don't have to roll.
You're taking the coward's way out.
I just, you know, let the dice roll.
Let the dice tell the story.
Roll. Okay. One of the groups of orcs, whether they see you or not is unclear, but they decide to charge at the dragon. And
while it's eating? Rude.
While it's like still chewing on Bet, maybe it slowed down ever so slightly, and they thought this is a great opportunity for us to take the offensive. They charge at the dragon. The dragon just turns to this group of like 8 orcs and blasts them with a smog breath.
Ooh.
Smog breath.
And you just hear screaming. Oh, and in the midst of that smog, you just see bodies start to crumble into the swamp.
Oh boy.
You are all at the boat, Pharaoh.
Okay. I think I was like a half step behind everyone else because I stopped.
But you get in with this move. Yep.
Yeah, I get in, and it's just like, go. And he's just like looking around. He's just still trying to wipe his face off and just glancing over. It's just like, come on. He's like searching for oars and,
Searching for oars. Saint and the Seeker.
Yeah, I get into the boat, I guess. Ferroni Jones, I help him into the boat. He's the only one left aside from the child who you're holding. But yeah, I just make sure everybody's getting in the boat.
All right, so you're kind of like guiding them and maybe the Seeker's helping. Yes, we must help those who are less fortunate than us. The child.
I'm going to scramble out of Warwick's grip now that we're up next to the boat and just try to position myself near the front of the boat. And I'll turn around and I'll be like,
Get on board, everybody.
Put your head down.
All right.
Quiet down, boy.
All right.
Stay low in the boat.
I just like fall on my chest. I just fall down and hide.
Ellison.
I climb in the boat and I position myself towards the rear of the boat and I'm preparing to cast spells to defend our rear if we get attacked.
Defend your rear, Warwick.
Who's driving the boat?
You're going to push. You're going to have to push off.
Like a bobsled. You're going to do the push and jump in.
This is what we did off the northern.
We don't need a push because we're not on land.
Yeah. We can start rowing.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, like you have to get us going with momentum and then we'll start rowing. Give the boat a push.
Give the boat
a push. Just get in and row. But like, I don't know if I need to
get in and row.
If I row, I can't lock or fight.
Well, you can always put down the oars.
Ferroni.
Ferroni's in there.
Yeah, Ferroni should row. He should take one oar.
Why don't you row? What are you, better than me?
He's a wizard.
I have a -2 to strength.
All right. Ferroni's like, this is kind of like a fire hose.
All right, he'll hop in.
The same way.
Alligator NPCs are so narrowly defined, they can only experience the world through their one descriptor.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Through their work. My fish.
It's like a bucket.
I can make
it's like,
just
it's like a long perpendicular bucket.
This swamp is like one giant bucket.
Yes. I can speak to Dalmatians.
He's going to hop in and he'll throw his short sword and shield. Clack, clack, down into the bottom of the boat next to him and just like grab an oar and look at Ferroni Jones. Just be like, drop it, go! And we'll start rowing.
Okay. Okay, resolving some rolls back here. Now it's the dragon. Probably only one more chance at an attack here, depending on what the orcs do.
What could go wrong? What?
For the listening audience, Troy looked over at Matt, our cinematographer, to invite.
As if to say, you must shoot this die because it's the one number!
Is it a one? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
We don't know. Six?
It seems bad.
I think it's a one.
Bad is the answer.
You think if he decided if he rolled a natural one on a d6, we would.
No, you're right. It would be higher. It would be higher because that's
six on a d6 is what attacks us, or a one on a d6.
I rolled twos and threes. I rolled a five and a six.
Oh.
This was the one, which is the worst possible result for the PCs. So.
It was a one. It was the natty one. You were right.
It was the one.
Right.
Now it's a matter of whether or not it climbs towards you to attempt to rend someone at the back of the boat or multiple people, or uses the same smog breath on you, the entire boat.
We're all together.
Oh my God, it's
going
to TPK.
That it just did to that party of orcs.
Eric is like, what kind of game am I guessing in here? What's going on?
I'll tell you right now, we'd take another one for a smog breath.
Okay.
The rest we go to Rentown, which means only one of you gets torn apart.
Great. Oh my God. Is there a die roll? Is that just auto tear?
Is that auto tear?
Look at this appetizing child.
Yeah.
That's what I go for.
Who is at the front of the boat?
Staying low.
In fact, Warwick is in the back.
I'm in the back.
Allison's in the back.
Warwick's on the oar.
Oars are in the middle.
Yeah. Do you fancy a light snack, me lord? He says to the dragon.
Jeez.
Well, let's see what happens. Okay.
Oh, God.
I mean, still not good. The dragon, I don't know why it is so fixated on you. Who knows what goes on in the mind of a... It could smell a delicious child.
Maybe it received a phone call from an insurance adjuster.
The dragon just got off the boat. So
he got a tip that the insurance adjuster's in this boat.
I mean, his home does seem to be flooded, so that does make sense.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It all connects. Yeah. This delicious child is drawing. It was me. I'm endangering the mission. All right, so.
It's like a veal.
So who was in the back of the boat?
I specifically said I was in the back of the boat. Ready? Cast a spell, which I did not do.
I'm probably in the back of the boat too because I was delayed behind everyone else.
Maybe Saint and the Seeker, if we were helping people into the boat. I don't
Seeker
know.
Seeker and Ferroni Jones are in the back.
Yeah,
no, you got to say what it
is. Ferroni's using the oar. Ferroni's in the middle with Warwick.
In the middle of the boat, facing backwards. So we're looking back at this.
I would say everybody
the boys
else.
Behind us on the in the bottom of the boat.
No, the boys at the front
of the
front.
But also at the bottom
of the boat. At the bottom of the boat.
The
boat. Like, I'm the front.
At the first attack of three.
Oh God.
Is on Ellison.
I'm going to use my last bottle cap to give you disadvantage.
Okay. Okay. Smart. Hashtag play smart.
Play smart.
Okay. Man.
Okay. Dude. Oh, I'm nervous.
Crazy.
Oh my God.
I mean, how many rounds? Any of these could have been attacks on you guys. All right. First attack. The worst of the two. That is a 17.
Oh God.
Gosh, yeah.
Oh, with disadvantage.
Oh no.
Okay. Oh no.
You guys want to watch Shadow Dark? Because we're about to play Shadow Dark.
For the first time in 20 episodes.
Yeah, the history of the show. We're about
play
to play Shadow Dark.
Shadow Dark. You take 17 points of damage.
I'm unconscious and die.
It's like trying to get its claws onto the boat.
I have this Norse Foundry Was it mana tracker?
Mana wheel.
Mana wheel.
For magic.
I'm just going to put that down to 0-0 on my HP.
Love a mana wheel.
Love a good mana wheel.
Second attack is on Pharaoh.
Oh.
One of the healers in this boat.
No.
I'll also spend a cap.
Oh my God. Well, disadvantage.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a Kate's character, Margo.
Margo.
Yes.
Perhaps Kate will be with you this day.
Save me, Margo.
Save me from like another universe in game.
Yeah.
Worst of the two, 24 to hit.
Oh my God. Oh, this is amazing. I didn't even know there were monsters this powerful in the book.
Yeah, you've taken out the two people who can heal people. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what your total hit points is, but this is 10 points of damage.
I'm also dying.
No. No.
And now, Saint.
Oh, no.
Disadvantage.
Don't waste your bottle cap. It doesn't help.
I mean, one of these has to be a low number.
What, statistically?
Yeah, it could be like a two, one or a two.
Come on, one.
Even a three.
One, and they come back alive.
Oh my gosh.
That's a 22 to hit.
Come on. Lowest number!
And I want to say, like, yes, it has a higher to hit than any creature you've fought thus far, but I'm rolling absolute rocks. 10 points of damage.
And I'm down.
You don't have 10 either?
I have exactly 10. I go straight to zero and just put that at 0-0.
I mean.
Why didn't I get one of those?
I guess only important people get it.
Wow. That was really hurtful.
Do you want to use mine?
No.
I'll soon be dead. Oh, wait. You can have mine.
I'm going to die. Oh, wait. You're going to die.
Well, they're mana wheels. I thought they were for magic players. Do you play magic?
They could be for anything. Oh, wow. Skid.
His head's down.
Now I feel really bad.
It's like a sad bulk trash day.
No mirrors at all.
No mirrors to be found.
You finally get to the boat.
Fucking dragon pits.
I know, what the hell?
You're wearing one.
I know,
you brought out the dragon pit.
Team dragon?
I'm taking it off.
Your team dragon.
These damn pits, take them off.
Take them off.
Hurry!
The cursing us.
Hurry!
Wow, we're laughing, but this is
awful.
You finally get onto the boat. This fucking dragon is somehow attracted to you. It sees you as easy prey as these orcs are trying fruitlessly to hurt it. The phoenix probably did the most damage out of any. I mean, you see it's been injured. You see it's a couple arrows in its scales, like peeking through. Maybe some of these swords have finally found purchase for the brave orcs that went up and tried to face it in close combat. But just as you get to the boat, just as you have a chance to escape, it almost climbs onto the back of the boat and brutalizes Pharaoh, Saint, and Ellison, who are all unconscious and dying, with Warwick, this strange, magically possessed child, Mr. February, and the Seeker.
Oh, I forgot. The Seeker.
And we'll see you next week.
Maybe we'll be okay. But it's also the Seeker, maybe not.
I never forgot the Seeker.
Call me the Seeker.
We're gonna be fine.
I think.
They call me the Seeker.
Yeah.
Saw the edit, but that's not the full story.
Devonte Anderson from Love is Blind is finally speaking out.
From his relationship with Britney,
to production's role behind the scenes,
to the moment everyone's been debating,
the people of color comment,
and yes, we asked him everything,
including what Netflix didn't show,
like Britney meeting his family.
A lot was cut,
and now it's all coming out.
No filters,
no safe questions,
just the truth. Listen now to the Roxanne and Chantel podcast.
Available where you get your podcasts.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy, hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world, fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good, because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Chaotix are on the case.